Following podcast contains strong language, not so graphic violence, questionable costuming, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Did you get it, Tony?
I didn't get it.
I'll have you slap yourself into oblivion if you don't get it!
Four guys and a movie! Four guys and a movie! Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show! Four guys and a movie!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 4 a.m. podcast, the movie podcast about movies, snacks, and all things nerdy. I just don't want to this time. I'm Rob.
Bio-boosted Tony.
I am Mobile Suit Brick Dome.
MacGyver.
Your number one guy. Burr.
I see what you did there.
He made the quote. He didn't add the quote.
It's true. We watched The Guyver?
The Guyver.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. you get conflicting reports on that. From 1991?
That's correct.
And, anybody seen this movie previously?
Yes.
Okay. Nope.
No, okay. I kind of figured on that one.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I may have seen this while channel surfing and was just like, yeah, no.
This is one of the ones where my mind will put the shields up and I'll forget, like, right after I watched it, what happened.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's fair.
Yeah, honestly, like, I was watching this and I was like, have I? I know I've seen it, but I think I've seen the second one more.
Probably. Possibly, at least.
It's got, like, a rhino guy in it, right? Like a rhinoceros man?
Yes.
All right.
I haven't seen that in at least
You're
20 years.
You're the movie
years.
Guy.
Is it rock steady or
it was Paul Giamatti in a rhinoceros mecha.
I still haven't seen
God
that
damn it, Joe.
Nor have I.
It's triggering to me right now. You can't bring up Spider-Man.
Well, let's bring up what you know about this movie.
Always bringing stuff up. You already mentioned It's the Guy from 1991.
It's the guy.
It's directed by Screaming Mad George and Steve Wang.
And I still think they should start as a team called Screaming Mad Wang.
So, Screaming Mad George directed this movie and...
Screaming daughter's high school play.
I'll say he told them to start at the beginning of each scene.
Yeah,
directed is a strong
He's
word.
Like, hey, okay, do your lines now.
It's literally his direction credits are this movie and Boy in the Box, a short from 2004.
All right, I'll have to look
yeah,
that up.
But he's worked on a lot of other movies in other capacity.
Yes, he is primarily a special effects person who worked on Predator, Don't Panic, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Faust. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could tell the graphics in this movie were so spectacular.
Shut
so.
Your mouth. Steve Wang also went
mind,
on.
Tony.
He also went on to direct Kung Fu Rascals and Guyver the Dark Hero.
What is Kung Fu Rascals?
I want to say it's like Little Rascals, but they're like American ninja or something.
I didn't get too deep into it, but it seems to be just three ninjas.
Okay. I would like it more if it was just a bunch of morbidly obese ninjas on rascal scooters. Like, you know, trying to kick each other without tipping the scooter over.
Steve Wang.
They're out to defeat the greatest villain of all, heart disease.
Also worked in special effects, and he worked on such movies as Monster Squad, Godzilla from 1998.
Not a good one.
Rain of Fire.
Not a good one.
Underworld.
No, also not a good one.
Blade Trinity.
Wow, this
okay.
And Lady in the Water.
Okay. He designed the Nurgles or whatever.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wow. That's that. If you plot that on a chart, that's just a steady progression down.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
That's really like when I was going over this movie and, you know, because they both worked on it, I was like, I wonder who was the more of the troublemaker and what happened here. And I think I got my answer.
I just realized something interesting, though. Matt George, you're saying he was the one that did the special effects on Nightmare on Elm Street 4?
Yeah. No, that was Steve Wang.
Oh. Also had a person turn into a cockroach.
Cockroach, yeah.
He's very fond of that.
So
we're not here to kink shame, Joe. Mm-hmm. We are a little.
Now put your ball gag back in.
I didn't realize the shame had a filter for a podcast.
So, of course, this is based on Japanese manga, which also had an anime and everything called Bio-Boosted Armor Gyver. Originally, I guess at one point, Stephen Baldwin was looked at for this lead character. That would have been interesting. When put out on DVD, the box art just straight up lies to you because that's if you know the poster, or we all saw when Rob brought up the DVD.
Motion picture on it?
Yes. No, but it also, like, the image is half the Guyver and half Mark Hamill, making you think he turns into the Guyver.
Which is probably why true. I thought that he played
Yes,
the
probably. And also, yeah, like, obviously the anime is and manga and everything are much more kind of violent based. And this movie started out as more of a kind of violent horror movie type thing. But then studios wanted a wider audience. 1991
happened.
Yeah, so.
Like, it's a little too violent and the cartoon sound effects are off-putting.
Yeah.
Get rid of one.
Racist creatures. Not that we can do. Do you want to guess how much I found? Guess how much they claim they spent on this one.
Oh, God.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm pretty sure this is bad information.
I know this is out of character, but can I ask for a hint?
Huh.
Is it over $1 million? That's all.
No, yeah, fuck it.
Give him nothing.
No, I'm giving him a hint. It is 3 times more than you would think would be way too much.
Oh, wow.
So $75?
Sure, that's your guess.
I mean, I'm going to go with 30 million from that math, but.
Three. Yeah. It was 3 million. That's what they claim. Yeah. Wow. I could not for the life of me find worldwide gross. So.
No, I believe it.
Well, bribes. Wait. It was all bribes.
Wait, was that how much it made or how much it cost?
That's how much it cost.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's how much the information I could find claimed it cost.
You said worldwide gross. I thought you meant.
Oh, no. Well, I said worldwide gross because I could not find that. It was just nothing.
It's worldwide and it's gross.
Yeah. At least with my limited resources, I could not find it.
Okay. Well, how much it made at all?
Yeah.
I
know for a sequel, I guess.
Oh, let's say.
Mo.
Mo. Yeah. It made.
Enough. It made people cry.
It made bad memories.
Did it make it to the theater?
I was, I question that. I believe it did.
Theater of your
that is definitely one of those ones where I checked multiple websites and they all talked around it to the point where I was just like, motherfucker, say in a theater. Just say it. Because it's all, upon its release and so on and things like that. And I'm like, that doesn't necessarily mean theater. So but I believe it did.
It's the kind of movie that's not released. It escapes.
Yeah.
Speaking of
I will
escapes,
say it did because if Garbage Pail Kids did, this fucking
it had a limited release.
Speaking of garbage, it's time for a Fat Chat Test Kitchen. Breakfast edition. Hey, listen.
Fat Chat.
The Trample Prancers are not stepping
We're
out,
working
so
on it.
Yeah.
I gotta make do with what I got.
Pretty sure we got a tambourine in the other room.
I'm pretty sure we got a lot of things in the other room I don't want in this room. Now, we have these are General Mills style breakfast cereal products. They are the loaded variety, which means they're regular cereal that you know and love, but stuffed with frosting. Which, really, the concept of that just hit me right now.
Yeah. It was a children's breakfast.
Well, I mean, it's just.
Let's get ready for double entendre.
No, I'm not even going.
Not
for that.
Even going.
No, just the pure fatness of it.
Yeah,
that too. Yeah. Which you know I love.
Part of a balanced breakfast.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, we heard you like sugar, so we put sugar in your sugar.
Yeah. So yeah, here's you like Cocoa Puffs frosting, bitch.
If by balanced you mean optimized for maximum carb output.
Yeah, correct. Now,
yeah. All that frosting on top of the cereal was just wicking the milk off. Yeah, we got to put it inside.
That's volume we're wasting right there. Yeah.
It's balanced like a very large walrus laying on the side of the ocean side.
Now, they come in three varieties. We have Trix, we have Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and we have Cocoa Puffs. So I'm just going to pass these around, and we each take a couple and try them out. I think I'm going to do the Trix first. I mean, you can take them in whatever order you want, but
I'm going to take one and pass.
I thought you were trying to be slick. Like, I'm going to try this one first. Oh, that was delicious. Here you go, Joe.
No. I'm not. Tony. I won't skip communion.
While we're setting up, can you do me a favor, Tony?
What's that?
Can you turn around the gorilla with a club that it looks like it's just going to town on that Stegosaurus, and it's distracting me.
Well, he's got to have.
There's Transformers positioned in unacceptable. Oh, he's got the Infinity Gauntlet.
Just
what is even happening there?
Fisting.
You don't want to know.
Toys are arranged in unacceptable ways.
I'm sorry.
Toys are arranged in however they fit, because I had to clean the table.
One of these, and I'm assuming it's the, what was the arrangement?
That's Trix.
Trix? Yeah, so the colorful ones are the Trix.
This looks like some kind of weird moon rock from the original Star Trek series.
Mm. Yeah.
It might be.
I'm gonna maybe I should mute the mic for just a minute while we chew these.
Well, the vanilla frosting will muffle everything. So.
All right, everybody just turn away from your microphones while you eat it.
It's going in.
Going for Trix.
Someone should probably man the mics. Actually, say something while everyone's chewing.
You did it. Go. No, you chew. I got it. I didn't taste any frosting.
I did not taste any frosting. You know what it did taste like to me? Like those wafer cookies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a slight aftertaste of frosting.
I can tell the frosting's there, but I can't taste.
All right. Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, yeah, so just enjoy it.
Again, no frosting.
No frosting.
Same.
It just...
No, I'm getting frosting.
Okay. Well, frosting.
That's just some
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And
I got frosting on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found I guess it helps if I just, like, mush it with my tongue against the roof of my mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I forgot how much I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so...
That...
But I didn't get the frosting.
Each of those tasted to me like you took two pieces of the cereal and just stacked them on top of each other and ate it.
Yeah.
See, pretty much. Not what it tasted like to me, because I tasted like dumbed down versions of the cereal.
Not
as good as just straight whatever. It's not terrible. Like, I don't hate it. But...
No, like, it literally, to me at least, it literally tastes like those wafer cookies.
Yeah.
Even with the, like, having a light layer of cream in it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So I like everything in life.
A light layer of cream.
Light layer of cream. In it. Now, next up, because we've been doing Pop-Tarts so well on this podcast. Oh, by the way, what did everybody think ultimately? Pass or fail?
That's worthless.
Oh, okay, I guess I should have said
I'd eat them. No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say no to them.
The negative.
But.
Yeah, I will pass on eating them.
I forgot what we said for like if we like it.
I will say I will withhold my answer until Kellogg's responds.
What?
Have you been sending complaint letters again?
No, I'm saying if they pay us, I'll.
Yeah, sponsorships. Yeah, Kellogg's. General Mills.
Mills. I'm sorry.
Well, Kellogg's is like keep talking shit about it.
Well, no. To be fair, whoever gets here first with the most, that's
supporting.
Kellogg's, you want to give us some, give us the time? You know that big cock on your cornflakes box?
No, and there goes the sponsorship.
We'll take it. All right.
So, I would say that the best I could do with that is a D because, like, it's actively worse than the cereal itself.
Yeah.
I'd still eat it.
I put all those cereals probably in the A tier on their own. So this
I don't remember enough about Trix.
This I'd probably put in the C tier. I don't think it's that bad, but
I'd be okay with it.
I Yeah, I'd probably go C as well, because, again, to me, that tastes like those wafer cookies. I like those wafer cookies.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But I don't need to have a bowl of them in milk.
I'm wondering if there's some kind of chemical reaction that takes place with the quote-unquote frosting and the milk that we're just not getting.
No.
Because we're eating them dry.
That would be far too complicated.
Yeah. It probably would be, but think of the possibilities.
I suppose it is also, fair to mention, we are eating these without milk.
So next up, we have chocolate chip pancake Pop-Tarts.
You're also eating those without being toasted.
Yeah, we are having them untoasted. That's true. Mm-hmm. We're doing it
but
wrong.
A Pop-Tart should be good untoasted.
Right.
Like, it should be able to stand on its own.
And I would argue that the most S-tier Pop-Tart of all, the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart, mm-hmm. is best unheated.
Mm.
But can be versatile in any.
It can get dangerous if you overheat that one.
That is true. Molten ass sugar.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go ahead and bite into mine while you guys are unwrapping. Just so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go right ahead. And I'll just stare deep into Slammer's eyes.
I mean, that tastes like what it purports to be.
Yeah, perfectly serviceable mm-hmm. Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not dethroning the cinnamon, but it's up there. Probably the best one we've tasted on this podcast.
Probably.
Maybe I don't remember what we.
I like the Eggo.
Oh, the Eggo one was pretty good. How was the Boston cream? Was that good?
I think I liked it better than this one.
Yeah.
I
don't remember.
You're not a fan of this?
I can take or leave this.
Okay.
It almost reminds me of maple cookies. Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was a little more maple flavoring. That's,
the chocolate chip pancakes, so maybe it's not like maple-y.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's, I feel like it is there, but it's very slight.
If
I could be wrong.
Somehow sank actual chocolate chips into it. Like, maybe not as many, but, like, you had that texture of biting a chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would be great, but I'd give that one, like, a...
Joe, what do you think these are on top of it?
That's like somebody blew up a chocolate chip
Tony,
on top of it.
Those are chocolatey chips.
Oh.
Which is...
They're not actually chocolate.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I got go 16 great with malt. Of the fuckers. They only... Like, all the new flavors just come as giant-ass mm-hmm. things. I still have some of the... I don't even remember what flavors they are, but... anyway.
I do like that's part of their new strategy is like... They buy 16 of them. They might not like them at the start. By the end of that fucking box, they'll be. We'll have like Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. They'll be cool with it. And then they'll do well.
So I'm going to give those Pop-Tarts probably a B.
Yeah, that's about where
they're
I am.
Pretty good.
I bet they'll be really good warmed up. So that's my take.
That would be interesting to try.
That's our Fat Chat Test Kitchen. Joe, who's in this miserable movie?
We got a Jack Armstrong, who I've never seen before.
Stretch Armstrong.
As Sean Barker and the Guyver. We got Mark Hamill as Max Reed, CIA. David Gale as Fulton Balkis, Lord Naughty Touch.
Full on Balky.
Michael Berryman as Lisker Sloth. Or I named his transformation Tumor.
Okay.
Why?
Because it just has a giant forehead tumor.
It's not a tumor.
They all kind of look like
it. Yeah. Jimmy J.J. Walker. Just.
As the worst.
Yeah. He's stealing the show, but not in a good way.
Jimmy J.J.
It's more like grand larceny.
Yeah. As Stryker. And then Vivian Wu as Mizgi Sagawa.
Mizgi. That's fun.
How do we begin all good sci-fi movies like this?
Forgot we were doing a show.
I did. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, the more people Joe read off, I was just like, oh, this is fucking miserable. Every one of this damn movie sucks. Worse than the last person in the movie.
Except for Mark Hamill.
That is not true. Cool.
Mark Hamill was there.
Yeah, he exists.
Which is one of the better ratings I'll give for a cast member.
This movie starts in a...
starts with a text crawl, like all good
90s
sci-fi movies do.
My brain is already purging this film. It's basically like Back to the Future where the photos start disappearing.
This dog candy is probably helping too.
And it,
correct.
It talks about...
nonsense.
Well, yeah, nonsense, but like things that you have to stipulate on a little bit more. It's just like aliens created mankind. That's it. Good. On next concept.
It should have just been like Hey, Scientology, am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, okay.
Give me some kind of detail there.
Well, no. Well, they gave you detail. Aliens wanted to make the perfect weapon, so they created mankind.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And well, you then find that out later.
No, that's
it says it there.
In the text.
Says that in the text. Okay.
And then it says, by the way, they made some of the mutants for some reason.
Zoonoids.
I don't know why.
And the Zoonoids have a Zoolord. And the Zoolord made Cronus Corp. And like,
and Cronus Corp, we got Matthew Bigette.
Yeah. I'm like, text crawl. You don't need to tell me any of this. Like, I'll figure all of this out in like 5 minutes of watching this movie.
And you still won't care.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only thing useful it tells you is that there's a unit that the Zoonoids want.
Yeah, there is.
And there's a Dr. Kazawa or whatever who that stole
Kazow.
It. And that's where we start the action for this film.
You know what they didn't tell you?
What's that?
Why the aliens wanted super soldiers.
Because everyone wants super soldiers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or why they didn't just make all the human super soldiers.
It's the classic 1-2 punch of ancient astronauts and we need super soldiers.
Oh, of course. Yes. It,
you know.
Yeah.
That's bad movie 101 right there.
Textbook.
Mm-hmm.
They can't read.
But also, oh god, this hurts. So yeah, aliens wanted super soldiers, so they created mankind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For some reason, they made some of mankind turn into mutant monsters.
And that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that was 2.0.
Oh, is that what it is? That's the update.
That was the upgrade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is your mutants of various species, so none of your parts are interactive with each other.
Yeah, they're
so
not good.
Immediately
all the while,
population.
On their way out, they dropped a hubcap that is actually the most powerful weapon.
And could they at least mention that, you know, they were like, they made all this different life on Earth, and they started mixing it together to make, like, super soldiers?
Mm-hmm.
That would make a little bit more sense.
Whoa. Yeah. Now we're starting to get into Jupiter Ascending territory.
Mm-hmm. And spore.
That's a scary place to be.
This is 1991. That shit hasn't happened yet.
Now, Tony, would you prefer the aesthetics of Jupiter Ascending?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You like the costumes here more than the design of Jupiter Ascending?
God, yes. Wow.
I would, however, want that guy that only whispers or screams. He was amazing.
Is Eddie Redmayne a dog in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's half dog.
And don't forget.
Does he look
she's
like
a queen
because
bees can spot royalty.
Right. She's a bee queen or some shit.
No, she's the queen of the universe because bees understand.
Because bees universally
recognize
royalty. Yeah.
So what about like ants?
Fuck that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, where would you even get that?
Specifically.
Why would you? Why would you think that?
Guys, I'm sorry. Can we just wait? I'd like to issue a public apology. I've embarrassed myself. I've embarrassed this podcast.
It's because bees having a few bees like playfully fly around you is better than having several ants
run on your leg.
Yep.
Did like
I think they're
a bunch
real
of creatures like come up bite her wings off so she couldn't escape.
Oh,
and then have their way with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the real thing is I don't have the answers because I didn't bother to watch the multiple sequels and play the video game and watch the animated shorts featurette.
That never happened. But
I know. It's a Matrix joke.
I had a question.
Yeah. Well,
and I lost it.
Is it about? Was it about this movie?
Probably.
No, it was not.
Keep going. Joe, keep going.
Does Channing Tatum look like a dog?
Partially,
well,
doesn't he?
Well,
that depends.
He
has the ears, right?
He has Spock ears and I think big eyebrows.
Oh, he doesn't look like Barf.
No.
No.
Spaceballs?
No.
Because that's all I'm picturing. Channing Tatum in that.
I'm...
And whoever else in a bubble.
Whenever someone says Channing Tatum, I will always either picture him in the gimp suit or him as Beyonce. And just those two.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Now you can picture him as Barf from Spaceballs.
So
I would much
he'd
prefer...
He'd be down for that.
John Candy be in Jupiter.
This fucking movie.
So, okay, let's just get this going. So, there's this Japanese guy, Dr. Kazawa. He's running away. He's got the unit in a briefcase. He he hides it in a red lunchbox.
Yeah.
Then he gets spotted by these two people and like these two goons. And when you first see them, you're like, are they okay?
And then you get closer and you're like, ah, no.
They are not okay.
They're not okay.
No.
Not
okay
at all.
The kids are not
you
okay.
Got, nothing is okay
ever again.
Nope.
All right. Let's dial it back a bit.
So, yeah, you have Stryker, who's one of the few people whose names I remember, and he's a piece of work.
Only because they yell it every 30 seconds.
Now, I asked this of Tony and John, but and I honestly mean this. Do you think George Lucas got the idea of Jar Jar Binks from this?
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Could be.
There was definitely some implications.
Them lips, yo.
I mostly meant like
the ears,
the characterization and the
just overall. Pretty much ears, everything. Yes. It's very
the overall everything.
Very Jar Jar esque.
The lips are upsetting.
Well, yeah, actually, I perhaps should mention right now, unsurprisingly, both these guys did work on Gremlins 2. So,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, in case you somehow didn't catch that.
And Stryker's played by Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Tony and John at the start of this movie, the first time he was on screen, I said, if he says dynamite, we're shutting the movie off. And we're just going to put out a did not complete podcast.
Yep.
Oh.
And I won't tell you.
Has that ever happened before?
No. And I'm not going to I'm not going to spoil the surprise for everybody. I'll let you know what happened at the end.
So these two people are chasing after this old man who, you know, if he was not an elderly man, he would have no problem outrunning either of these two.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like Jack Sparrowing after him in a way less elegant way.
But he has that thing where, pretty much just whatever happens, he trips and falls
downhill. Yeah. Falls right down the L.A. River and just, you know, he lands on the ground and a van drives up. And while you're still processing what you've seen here, Sloth shows up and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy J.J. Walker twinkle toes down the side.
Mm-hmm.
So does he actually look like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. He has a genetic condition.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He is, for those that want to know, he is literally the guy on the poster for The Hills Have Eyes.
Hmm.
If that means anything for you, but basically because he looks a little different and he wanted to be an acting or whatever, he plays like a mutant freak in 90% of all movies that came out in the '80s.
Okay. He's very tall.
Yeah.
Very bald, like as in no hair, no eyebrows, nothing, and does not have fingernails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clubbed fingers.
Okay.
Or club finger. Yeah, club fingers.
It's not just because he looks a little different. It's also because he's a shitty actor.
In fairness, most of the time he just has to growl and snarl.
That's fair, but his voice is not deep enough for it. So it just comes across like,
don't know. Now I'm questioning a lot of things.
Snarl.
Because I feel like he's deeper in other things. I don't know that he's a bad actor. I think there's a good chance he knew what this movie was and played to it.
There's nothing to work with here either. Mm-hmm. But there are some truly terrible performances.
Well, this is
this
also
film.
To say though, this is also where they were like, oh, this can't be violent, so the bad guys are Three Stooge characters.
Mm-hmm.
So
just the bad guys.
So
mostly the bad guys.
All right, so they grab Dr. Sakawa here. They're holding him up. They're looking for the unit. They get his briefcase, and then Dr. Sakawa is like, no, don't. He can't have this. I'm going to turn into a fish man.
Take my unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a fish now.
Yeah, we get a transformation montage. Thriller.
Pretty much the only one you're going to get.
Thriller, this is not. And
we get a couple good ones.
You know, he
just turns into the Bass Pro Shops, like Mounted Bass.
He
just starts singing.
Maybe I'm going to stand alone here then, but I liked these effects. I said,
until you get to the shoulders.
Well, I said when we started watching this, like, it is the sad case of this is going to be that perfect movie for me to go, this is why I like practical effects. This is also why sometimes we need CGI. Because, like, every other minute, it's like, that is awesome. That's a great suit. They did a fantastic job. and then it starts moving, and you're like, that's why we sometimes we need CGI.
I was just about to say, they looked fine until they moved.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mad Wang told Stan Winston, we're not going to film them below the waist. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, they had some that were below the waist. It's just...
Yeah, well, that's his point, is they weren't shots, even...
That's... So, but even just that, you know, like, sorry to keep cutting you off here, but like, it's not just the movie. It's the things of, you know, understandably with practical effects like that, you have certain limitations with some of the things you could do, which is how we get a furry beak girl that can't move her mouth.
I love the suits.
Yeah.
And given a choice, I'd rather have those than crap CGI.
Well, that's why I say like, it's... Ideally, it's a mix of both. That's what we got in Jurassic Park, where when they can use practical, they use practical. When they need to do something the practical can't properly do, they put CGI to make it better. And like,
I mean, in general, that's how it should always be.
Yes.
You use the tool for what it's best at.
Yes, but practical is pricey. So
pricey and a dying breed.
Well, yeah, probably both.
Probably because it's pricey, but like
so.
And because Stan died.
To equate your, you know, about the transformation itself, I hate to make, you know, compare it to an actual tragedy, but to me, it reminded me of like the Challenger, where it was the transformation was going real well, but the end result was so bad that like it doesn't kind of matter. it just takes away from the whole.
Doesn't matter, guys. You heard it. Challenger, you died for nothing, according to Joe.
Well, wow. I mean. They started taking off, and then
it ended bad.
So that's what I'm saying.
I think Rob's focusing on you saying that their lives were pointless.
I mean,
no, I didn't say that. Like, no. You know, they were trying to do great things, and then
perfectly serviceable fish, man. What was wrong with them?
I think it was the giant shoes on his slipper feet.
Is that a sentence you ever thought you'd hear?
No.
Come on.
John, how many fishmen have you serviced?
Perfectly serviceable fishman.
Strangely attractive for a
fishman.
Yeah, I mean, whatever
you got
it's worth.
Pretty mouth.
No, I think the fishman looked great. I think the other one looked great. Again, the problem is like... When he's like, I'll stop you. And his mouth can't move. And he's just kind of swinging wildly because the actor inside can't see or breathe move.
If you showed me a picture of this guy, I'd be like, okay. If this guy jumped out for a few seconds out of the dark and was like, I would freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the concept of him is okay.
Yeah.
The application of him is highly suspect.
It's fine, guys, because we don't really see these costumes much in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like watching a pit fight between Grimace and Barney.
Mm-hmm. I would pay so much money for that. It's almost like the actors just disappear and we just get the suits.
But that's the thing. Like, I think what you're forgetting, A, directed by two simultaneous special effects guys. They were proud of this work, and at the time, this is probably really cool.
Listen,
this is before Jurassic Park, at least.
I'm not saying the designs or even the costumes themselves are bad. Hmm. I'm saying once they got to the waistline, they gave up. You can tell, tell it's just pants painted green because they're like bunching up.
You do better.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh, give give Rob $3 million.
Give me $3 million.
Come up with.
All right. I'll give you $3 million by the end of the week. I want an awesome costume in Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember, you have to deduct Mark Hamill from
that. I mean, in 1991, yes. Maybe not so much now.
When did the Power Rangers come out?
Shortly after this.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is, it's all the problems you have with Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Not all the problems. Mm-hmm.
Enough of it.
All right. So either way, so he becomes a fish man, and then Sloth like takes off his admittedly pretty cool overcoat, and then just bursts through the rest of his clothes, and becomes a giant
thing.
It's got a, it has like a forehead ramming plate that I was just like, is that a tumor? and its eyes are cool. Like the face is real cool.
Yeah.
And actually, I guess it's one of the better Zoonoids. But yeah, again. They're talking without moving their mouths. Mm-hmm. They just sort of gyrate at each other, and the fighting is sus. They start fighting.
Well, he occasionally does have some good mouth movement.
Mm. Sloth, you know, beats this guy's ass and then just kind of crushes his head a bit. Mm-hmm. And he dies. And yeah, it's as amazing as it sounds. Then we get the opening credits. And they're, for an 80s movie, they're fairly tame for the as far as overstaying their welcome. They get the job done and they go.
Yeah, that part's already gone. Completely wiped that out of credits at all.
And now we're in Aikido class.
Well, yes. Don't forget, Fishman dissolves too.
Oh, that's right. Fishman does dissolve.
Mm-hmm. He does, but his like skeleton and skin are still there.
Skeleton and skin are still there. And the FBI agents that are watching Mark Hamill, they're all like, why did you wait? It's like, why didn't you just go? Like,
yeah. Well, like, why didn't you wait? Because the guy I was watching died. Like, I think we need to step in at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You worried about blowing your cover?
Our hero, you know, we meet here, Sean. He gets his ass beaten by some other guy. And then we see there's this Japanese girl there. And, you know, he goes.
And a Japanese guy.
Yep. And he goes and asks if she can, if she wants a ride home. He's like, yes. Then the teacher's like, just use your ki power. And I was like, that's dumb. And then, we go back to, Mark Hamill walks in at this point. And he starts talking to this Japanese girl who we find out is named Mitsuki. And he reveals that he's from the CIA. And he found her dad's skeleton. And he's going to take her to see it. You want to go see your dad's dead body? Let's go.
I understand.
She likes sushi.
What if he just came up to her, put his hand on her shoulder, and be like, hey, found your dad's skeleton.
You're not far off. It is very bizarre because, like, these two were talking and such, but what he says is, like, I want you to, you know, I've been looking for you. I was talking to your dad. He had some information for me. He was supposed to meet me at this place. He never showed up. I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Information is he's dead.
Yeah. Well, he says, I'm afraid he never made it. He died. I didn't see what was happening, but it was violent. I think they set him on fire. It's like, whoa, what the fuck are you saying, dude?
They did a pinchy head. They pinched the head.
So the same shit happened to my aunt and uncle.
But it's just like, it's that he just clearly gets to a point of just being like, that's enough, dude. You can stop now. She's crying. You're good. Just stop.
He keeps going for 20 minutes of screen time. And damn it, they're going to get 20 minutes of screen time.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he should walk away. The girl's crying. But like, you can stop describing how gruesome her father's death was.
I'm wondering how much of the sweet stash that he grew was because they didn't want him to look like Luke.
Mm.
That was probably him doing that. He's a I almost said cop, but it's what, CIA?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Had
you
started doing Batman by this?
No.
No?
No, I still want to say no, but.
Was Batman like 93?
I think.
So, I do want to point out, I have to backtrack Batman? A sec. Hmm? No, animated series. He's Joker. There's one choice bit of acting on Mark Hamill's part where he's running to go find Dr. Tozawa after, you know, this tumor riddled dinosaur man beat the shit out of him and was waving the briefcase above his head like a sand person. He runs over and he looks directly at the camera before he climbs this fence, like as if looking at the director to like, you want me to climb this? Waits like 5 seconds, then climbs the fence. I was like, oh, we kept that in the movie. Perfect.
Yeah, the 5 seconds was the director adding a zero to his mark's check.
Aww. And it was 92.
Yeah. That was the take we're going with.
Yeah, it was just like, he wasn't looking at the camera. He was looking at someone just off the camera going, did the money show up yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Check cleared. We're good.
I'm going to huff my ass over this thing. I'm high as a...
So back to our hero, Sean, who's looking at Mitsuki through the window in Aikido class here. His partner is just like, Sean, I'm going to punch you in the face. Yeah. And then does it a couple times. Like, Sean's got a bloody nose now. So he just jumps on them and they roll around. Like everything they learned in Aikido class is useless.
It's fun.
Maybe it's the beginner class. I don't know.
They're basically
that could act as hair and makeup now.
kids in adult bodies in an Aikido class. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, that is, again, a new age teacher. We put out a first draft of this, and we were told it was too violent, so now we're just going to fight like children.
Mm.
Yep.
So Max and like Mitski leave the class, and so Sean's leaving class, too, to get on his little moped and chase after him. And, you know, act one of this film, we got some exposition to get through. We got some setup work to get through.
Some wrapping to get through.
That is act two, my friend. We save that for the...
Do we get that now?
Oh, wait, no. You know, we do. We get in all three acts. Never mind.
Yeah, it's a barrage.
But...
a berserker barrage.
My point is to you know, help inject some energy into this rather boring first act. They do these abrupt ass scene changes where an After Effects claw like slash through the screen, you know, go, and it makes this weird like noise. It's just abrupt scene change.
I felt like it was about to cut to like a video from Tiffany or something.
Yeah.
It was a wipe.
And now we're at the Kronos Corporation.
It's probably Hamill's idea.
And we meet the Zoolord, who, he's a pretty terrible looking guy.
He's just a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's just a bad old guy. Old bad guy.
In a nice suit.
He's an Ebenezer.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
So, Sloth walks in. He's like, I got the case. Don't worry. I didn't open it and check.
I brought this shit.
To make sure I fail as hard as possible.
Correct.
And I just assumed victory.
Because he wants the credit, he's like, I retrieved it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know common sense? I failed, it's my fault.
Did you know common sense is made of hair?
So some stuff happens here. So the Zoolord here, he opens up the briefcase, sees that it's empty. Sees that it contains a toaster that Dr. Tozawa did put in there. And
turned into a cassowary that heard a weird noise.
And
it's the only way I can describe his head and neck situation.
Yeah. So he looks really intensely at Sloth here. And Sloth starts just kicking his own ass.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this, see, the Zoolord just opens his forehead and where his third eye should be, just a tumor comes poking out. Like an air bladder starts inflating out of his forehead.
Yeah, something. A little chode starts creeping.
Yeah, well, Sloth is...
through the pants, the pee pocket.
Attempting to pull his own face off.
That doesn't really come back for anything, right?
No, we never see it again.
Because that's not even part of his transformation.
No, it doesn't end up on his final form.
It comes back, but it doesn't lead to anything.
It doesn't ever... Wait, it pops out of his forehead again?
Yeah.
When?
It's towards the end when, Cockroach Man starts to die. You actually see it pulsing in his head.
Oh, okay.
He's standing, he's lurking in a doorway, you know.
But that's his he's exerting himself too hard alarm.
Exactly.
Yeah. When he was lurking. Oh, God.
Yes, he was lurking in a doorway, and a chode popped out of his
little window. He's just looking like Torgo.
I mean, I guess this checks out, because there are times where I stare intently at Brick, hoping he will kick his own ass. And if I stare hard enough, my forehead does begin to pulse. So I imagine if I keep going, eventually just the tumor will pop out.
That's when I start rubbing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stops it right there.
I'll push it back in.
All right, so now he's like, go get the case, or I'll have you slap yourself into oblivion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's an awesome threat.
Like a villain would say, slap you so silly.
And again, abrupt transition. And now he is spying on Max Reed and Mitski here at the crime scene. And they're loading her dad's skeleton into an ambulance a coroner. And some CIA goons show up, and they're just like, Max, how dare you try to be a cop? You know, here's some rope. Go hang yourself. You're looking for Ninja Turtles or Mothras.
Yes. Who'd you bring here this time?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just the daughter of the victim. Weirdo.
Is that really, what did he say, Ninja Turtles or Mothras?
Yeah, yes. I made sure.
Yeah.
I actually rewound to make sure he said Mothras.
Ninja Turtles or Mothras?
So I did hear Mothras.
You did.
Yeah, okay. Multiple Mothras.
Okay.
It's like, I'll have you know, I just got one of the girls that sings Mothra that one time, and you'll never well, let me live it down.
I left the light on and the door open once. that is up there with that is up there with people that say the Draculas.
Yep,
or we have a case of Draculas.
All right, so while Sean's spying on this, he kicks the lunchbox that we saw earlier that contains the Guyver unit. And he's like, oh, this thing's pretty cool. This is a neat-looking piece of electronics. And it's, like, pulsating and whatnot, and there's coils underneath it, like, wiggling around. And then we see...
I love that his thought for that is just, yeah, this looks weird and dangerous and possibly alive. Let me put it in my backpack.
Yeah, you know, I'd take that home.
It's the limitation configuration. Yeah. Let's go play with
Tony,
it.
You know
what I'd do.
Yeah, you know, if you saw that, you'd be like, maybe it'll bore a hole through my forehead. I'll take it home.
Well, yes, but I'm not a normal person. Yeah. I would want this thing to bore a hole in my head.
So
not to become the guy first.
Just
a borehole.
Yeah, Tony's like, way, that's fine. That's
either way.
It's like the sphere from the Phantasm series. Just go right through my head.
Sure.
All right. So Sloth sees that Max Reed here. He heads off with Mitski, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go follow her. And another abrupt transition. And we're back at Mitski's apartment, and Max is telling her that her dad was supposed to bring him the Guyver. He doesn't know what the Guyver is. But I said it's the most important weapon since the atom bomb.
Well, she's asking him appropriately, so, like, what the hell is that? And he's like, I don't know. It's like some kind of space armor. At which point I would have been like, get the fuck out of my apartment.
Yeah. My dad just died.
Yeah.
And you're talking about space armor.
Although this is the same guy who told her that mm-hmm. her dad died, so
and took her to see the body.
Took her to see a skeleton.
Yeah, took her to see a skeleton of a person that she probably saw alive or talked to 3 hours ago.
Hmm.
Right. So Sean knocks on the door, and there's just an awkwardly placed mirror right at the door so he can see there's a Mark Hamill hiding behind the door. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah,
this is a little weird.
Can we just talk for like a second about how oblivious this guy is to his girlfriend sobbing uncontrollably in the next room? Mm.
Well, there's a Mark, and he clearly knows there's a Mark Hamill
clearly
there.
Clearly knows Mark Hamill's there, and he's like consoling her.
He also knows, though, that he is terrible at Aikido.
It's
like, if I go in there, I'm going to be crying on the floor,
too.
No,
that's fair, but he gets there, but he gets to her place, and he's like, hey, what's going on? He's like, just gets a big smile on his face. He's like, what's going on? Hey.
Yeah, there's two major problems, which makes me think this guy might have gotten hit in the head a few too many times.
Are you okay? Have you been crying?
Yeah, he watches his girlfriend, or this girl he likes at least, go into another room with this gentleman that showed up at the keto practice.
Mm-hmm.
He watches her tell her something, and they both start crying. He follows them to the river there to look at a skeleton with a bunch of police around.
Mm-hmm. Including that guy.
Doesn't get anything.
Yeah.
No. Then he goes back to her apartment and is there and, like, confuses her as a potential lover, which I guess he could be the cop that told you your dad died and then take you on a date. Possible, but unlikely.
Sadness.
And then, later is like, are you okay? Because you're still crying. You've been crying since yesterday. Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Is there any chance something's wrong?
Yeah, what's going on? You okay? Something?
My dad died.
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
Can we kiss now?
She was crying so hard. She was doubled over. You were looking over there to the point where you got distracted, seeing her crying.
He's like, then I suffered multiple concussions.
Yeah, I had no idea. Classmates. I had no idea something bad happened to you.
All right. So now.
I wrote on my arm, just keep swimming. All right.
Are you okay? All right.
So he storms off, gets on his little moped.
What's the
again, abrupt transition. And now Sloth and the gang are throwing bums out of the crime scene where they were attacking the guy earlier.
And the bums are like just pretending there's nobody rummaging around right in front of them. Like,
well, one of them says checkout time. And he's like, I thought checkout was at 11.
And my soul just died.
Yeah. A little bit. By the way, you do know he is not the guy from the Goonies, right?
He's not. No. Well, I keep Okay.
That's why I was like, yeah. Just had that moment of like, I don't know if you're just doing that because you think he looks like him or if you actually think he was him.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I thought he was, but.
Now okay. You're the guy when we had a question before. I don't
know. What was his actual name? Because they said it once.
Michael Berryman.
Well, the character. They said it once, and then.
Slinkler.
Okay. And I didn't catch it, so I called him Sloth. He will be Tumor later in my notes when he transforms.
That is fine.
Now you're like, why is this scene even in the movie? They're like, they're searching for, they find like the lunchbox or whatever. And then Stryker here, he just starts rapping.
Yeah.
About nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, good. That's what we need now.
It's because it's cool. It's a fad.
But it didn't matter because my soul had already died at this point.
Yeah. And everyone just kind of looks at him like he's doing this again. And you're like, really, movie? But then there's another claw slash through the frame. And
but you don't actually
jump
hear
somewhere
the
else.
Rapping. All you hear is the sound of silence playing in your head.
Okay. All right. Now we're in an alley because Sean's moped dies in an alley, like that always happens.
Dead end alley.
Dead end alley. Yeah.
Is it Sean or John?
It's Sean.
Okay. All right.
Yep. The actor's name is John. That doesn't help.
Oh, that does not help. Okay.
But
and the acting of his girlfriend. Also
and some fucking helpful. Weirdo comes up to him. He's like, "Yo, let me help you with your bike." And he's like, get away from my bike!
They're both fucking weirdos.
Yeah, right off the bat, this is all wrong, because he's trying to deal with this bike. The guy throws a can on his bike, I think, as a high.
Yeah.
so he freaks out.
That's like, the warning shot.
He's like, hey, buddy, I'm behind you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spook you.
He reacts like that kitten that they tickle where he's just like,
Yeah.
And then the guy is like, yo, let me help you with his bike, and going towards the bike, and he's immediately freaking out and shoving this guy away. And
two arm, we're about to fight.
Yeah.
Shove.
Like, is this your indication that, like, people die here all the time or something? Like, what are we talking about?
So this isn't the first time, but there are multiple points in this movie where, in my head, Christopher Walken is like, no, that's the wrong tone. And I'm like, what's happening here?
They don't know either.
Yeah. It turns out that this guy is part of a gang.
Yeah.
And
you know who else is part of the gang?
Who's that?
The guy who punched him in the face earlier.
Was that actually him?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I'm in his karate class.
I throw him down with that guy.
Yeah.
So.
What was the.
I was actually enjoying the part where he takes like the Aikido stance and they all take it in response.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, they're fucking with him a little bit.
Yeah, and then Jackie Chan shows up and pretends he's drunk and beats them all.
And, they're having a little fight here. They're kicking Sean's ass. And, his unit falls out from his backpack.
They don't have any interest in that.
No.
They just can't even see it.
And he's crawling towards it. And they kick him so hard that his head lands on the orb on top of the Guyver unit.
On the start button.
And some stuff happens.
It is just a giant easy button.
First of all, I believe it was, I've seen him fight though, right?
No, because he doesn't scare me. I've seen his kung fu then or something. It ends with then.
I've seen his fight then, I think is what it was. I've seen him fight then, I mean. Anyway.
Something.
No, again, this is one where I really like these effects. This thing was freaky.
Oh, this part is legitimately awesome. Like, the orb falls out of the unit, and it bores a hole right through his forehead.
Yeah. It opens,
and
he
screams.
That
hurts.
Like a weird flower thing, and all the tentacles start coming out, and
black gunk.
Yep, very biomechanical, crawling in his head.
Yeah, the downside being these idiots.
They wait patiently for this to happen.
He's sick.
They wait patiently for everything.
Yeah. He must be sick. Just, give him some breathing room.
You know what?
It's sure. Fine.
Whatever we were going to do here is no longer worth what's happening.
Yeah.
That would
I'm
be the appropriate response.
Yeah.
If I kick your ass in an alley because I was trying to steal your bike and you didn't want me to, and now you start freaking out and all this shit's going on, I'm grabbing your bike and I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because whatever's happening with you, I don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he stands up and he legit does look cool. The guy, this Guyver suit does look, I like the way it looks.
Fucking badass.
And like the little touches, like he's got his forehead spike, like pops up. He,
his eyes actuate.
Yeah. His cheeks fart. He is ready to go.
I mean, my cheeks have been farting for most of this episode.
No, it looks cooler than that though. Like he's got two vents on the side of his, you know, his mouth. Well, where his mouth should be. And yeah, it goes like, psh, and shoots some steam.
Yeah.
He's powered up. And, yeah,
he's actually an espresso machine.
The king's like, this is a man we should fight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they're like, you kick his ass. No, you kick his ass.
Yeah.
But like was... only slightly fair.
Yeah. They nominate the weakest one of them
to
go kick his ass. And that man gets thrown all the way across the alleyway.
Yep.
He just starts beating everyone's ass. Then like the original guy from this gang, he pulls out some nunchucks and...
God.
Flails them around and drops them, which is, you know, it's about as good as you could hope with nunchucks as you're going to get. Pulls out the butterfly knife, flails that around, drops it. And then,
I think they even do the sad trombone noise. It's just
some kind of cartoon.
Yeah.
So it's implied so hard that, you know, you hear it.
Yeah.
That guy gets thrown away. Another dude tries to shoot him. Bullets don't do anything. And then he's looking at the Guyver walking towards him. He's like, I ain't got no bullets. Guyver beats his ass. Guy hits him with a board. That doesn't do anything. If the gun didn't do anything, why is the board? It's that classic trope of we shot it and it didn't work. So clearly we have to fight it in hand-to-hand combat.
Well, if puncture wounds don't work, you should try blunt trauma. Because, of course, that's, you know, that makes sense.
I would also just give him, you know, if that were me and I'm pretty sure I'm about to die, I'm trying whatever the fuck I can, because who knows.
But luckily they find Guyver's first weakness, his own reflection.
Yes.
Hold up a very shiny hubcap and he's like, what happened to me?
Never mind the fact that he's been fighting with his arms in front of his peripheral vision the entire time. All of a sudden, he realizes he doesn't look normal.
Well, you know, the adrenaline was pumping. He just got his ass kicked and then his forehead.
At this point, he bored created through. A spike to come out of his elbow to try and cut a guy's head off.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be like that anymore.
So, either way, you know, the one guy who's still standing runs away and he's looking at his reflection. And then in another admittedly cool effect, the suit gets pulled into two holes in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know how the physiology of that works, but I don't care. It looks cool. And then it's another abrupt transition as we're back to Lisker here is coming back to the Zolord. And he's like, he's like, I didn't get it. So Zolord's like, am I going to have to make you kick your own ass again? And he's like, wait, no, the daughter. We'll go after the daughter. And he's like, good.
Clap them cheeks.
See that you do. Go get her. And then just out of nowhere, there was toast going this the whole time at night. Sure, toast for, I'm not going to question that.
Joe. He was using the toaster that was in the briefcase.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's making the best out of a bad situation.
And that still fuck.
But yeah, we find out why that toaster was thrown away, because it burns the shit out of toast.
Yeah, but he puts the toast back in the toaster. He's like, you're not done yet. Well,
he just angrily slaps it.
He makes the saddest old man noise, just like,
but... Also, just to clarify for everyone, that means in somewhere around 24 hours, this guy has spent the entire time, like, he got the toaster, plugged it in, put some toast. He's like a fucking millionaire who owns his own company. Got this broken ass toaster, plugs it in, puts some bread in it. It's been like 24 hours. That's all he's done.
That's why it's charred black.
Tony, he didn't become a millionaire by saying no to a fruit toaster.
Yeah, we did discuss while watching this, like, the way to become a millionaire is never to turn down a free toaster.
And turning into a giant war turtle helps too.
Apparently.
But all right. But I'm like, that was random as hell. And then another transition, and Sean is now just in bed in his UCLA boxers, and he was like, he gets up, leaves his house, and we cut to Max Reed and the CIA goons. They went to the Cronus Corporation, presumably to ask some questions. Mm-hmm. They were politely shown the door, and Max is like, well, yo, they're hiding something clearly, and the goons are like, and tell him basically, you know, fuck off, leave this alone.
They're so obviously part of it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any excuse. Any normal scene would have been like, why are you not trying to do your job?
The one thing I would give them, like, that one of those goons should have just been like, this is an FBI problem. Let's call the FBI and try to like end it at that.
Yep.
Use the jurisdiction issue. But no, they weren't that smart.
That's why
he even says, I think I smell a rat.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's up.
So they're like, sort of. So after he stormed, he drives off in his car. The head CIA goon tells the other goon that he wants him followed 24 hours. Sean goes back to see Mitski. And, you know, she's like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, saw what was going on last night. I didn't, you know, process it. And, you know, I didn't handle that right. And, she's like, no, my dad died. And he's like, oh, that's so terrible. You want to make out? No. Yeah.
That wasn't your boyfriend.
Do you think if I put my hand on your chest, like to steady your heart? Do you think I should do that? Do you think it will? We could try it. I mean, I throw out ideas.
So now I really wish you just, when she's like, my dad died last night. I was like, that guy was your dad? Nothing like you.
Oh. I could see the resemblance in the mustache.
I think this lady was the Aikido teacher.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She definitely was.
All right. So she shows up. She's like, I'm here to both cock block and save you from doing something horribly regrettable. And so Sean's like, I'm just going to go. I'll go get food and come back. I'm not even going to ask you what you want.
Yeah,
I'll surprise
I was thinking
you.
That too. Just, you know, I'm just going to get you something.
And he leaves.
Probably sushi.
Were you going to want food too?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, he goes back with half a burger hanging out of his mouth. Like, oh, did you want something?
Sure, I forgot you were here.
And he walks past Stryker and the heavy set Eastern European man. And as they're coming in to accost Mitski.
Just call a spade a spade.
I don't know what you mean, John.
You what?
He means Russian.
He means call him a pug.
I don't know if he was Russian, though. He struck me more as, like, okay, he was a Slav of some sort. I'll give you that.
What? Slavs?
Yeah, that's a...
What?
That can't not be an insult.
That's the name of that.
Where we get the word slave from.
No.
That is not true.
No, that's the Slavic countries.
Yeah. You know what?
Have Slavic
I understand
people.
That. I also know a weenus is nothing, you know, naughty, but it still makes me giggle.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now, what was it? Oh, yeah. So Sean, he comes back, and as he's coming back, these two goons are walking out. You know, they were wearing coveralls. This plan checks out.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying disguise. A carpet with them. Oh, I'm sorry. We miss an intimate moment between Lisker and his girlfriend here. About going shopping in Brazil.
I don't think we missed that at all.
Yeah.
A weenus makes me get
and we're like, okay, movie, sure. And
that could be your new theme song.
So now Sean goes upstairs.
No, thank you.
And he sees like Mitski's apartment has been trashed and his Aikido teacher has been like murdered.
Yeah. There's like blood
everywhere.
Scrapes all on the wall and the first thing he does is he starts touching stuff. And it's like, okay, now you're implicated.
These goons are sitting there with Mitski's like head sticking out of the carpet, like putting her in the van, and like Stryker's like, I need my hat, man. It's like kryptonite without it. I gotta go back. And the other guy's like, no, we can't. And it's like that's like your stuff right at the crime scene that's gonna link you right there. Like fucking true. Go get it.
Well, no, to be fair, I don't think he was saying we can't go back to get it. I think the argument was basically who was going to go back and get
oh,
it.
Yeah, okay.
Because one was saying, you got to go get my hat. And he was like, you get your hat if you want, but I ain't fucking doing it.
See how husky I am? I'm not going up those stairs again.
Again?
Oh, my God, my teacher. blood everywhere. I better put my handprint on things so the cops know that I live here.
Stick my hand in her belly for a minute.
Now we get, I wish they explored this little interaction a bit more, because in very quick order, you got two guys with a woman wrapped in a carpet hanging out of their van that just get hit over the head with glass bottles right while Mark Hamill shows up. Just for this other guy just being like, hi.
Whoa, crying and, you know, right in front of me.
Yeah, that's a funny setup, and it gets abandoned right away. Like, Lisker comes out with a gun. Mark Hamill points a gun at him and backs up, and they, you know, the chase is on. And now the abrupt transitions are over, because this movie is now pretty much just one continuous scene for the rest of it.
Guys.
I think they did get the girl out of the carpet, though, right?
Yeah, they run off with her.
Yeah, they used the
I almost would bet this is literally where you get the half that one guy did and the other half the other guy did.
Because it's totally a different movie now for the rest of the movie.
I hope you guys...
It's not better.
Like watching people in rubber costumes for each other.
Yeah. So we start losing actors and just get rubber costumes.
Before I watch this.
So they go running off, and Lisker's like, no transformations. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to be subtle about this.
They can't see us.
Yeah.
No transformations. We need to be subtle about this. Now I'm going to run down this alley in the giant trench coat carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or waving a gun, I should say.
Nosferatu.
Yeah. Subtle as fuck, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Stryker, he doesn't have his hat anymore, so apparently he can't run. So he's like, fuck this. And just turns into big-lipped man bat. And you're like, oh, okay.
Also known as the retarded gremlin.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, he was the Daffy gremlin. The Daffy one, I would say more.
Oh, it was, okay.
Because there was Daffy and there was George. George was the slow one.
So.
Okay. Tony knows the gremlin names.
Yeah, motherfucker.
All right.
You bitches did that episode without me, but that's my shit.
So now, apparently Mark Hamill and the crew climbed over this wall onto a movie set and just ran off.
Yep.
But Stryker goes running by and just jumps over the wall. And there's a woman there, like, immediately screaming, and he's screaming at her. And turns out we're on a movie. And, like, this blonde actress and young Michael Moore are yelling at this silly-looking man bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I understand on paper this looked like it would be funny.
That was the real Michael Moore, not someone pretending to be.
No, that was just a very Michael Moore-esque man.
Yes. Okay. All
right. And then the...
I really expected it at this scene.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this where the actual movie starts?
Mm-hmm.
Have they just been like screwing around with the audience, trying to do a little bait and switch thing here?
So...
No.
Stryker's just like, oh yeah, okay, all right, I'll next take I'll do it better. You know, all right, I'll, you know, I just have to scream at her, that's fine. And the joke is the director doesn't realize that this is a monster man.
Mm.
And after Stryker leaves, he sees a little person in a monster costume, and he's
who's
just like
grinning like a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was his job.
Yeah. Hey. All right, stand here, wear half this freaking costume. Don't say anything. Like,
what part was this? Did I miss this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened pretty quick, but you're just like, oh, that wasn't the monster I was talking to.
Yeah.
That was an actual monster. And you're just like,
that's why you missed this part.
It's a hilarious joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
No? Then, well, at least it was, you know, essential for the plot.
No.
Okay.
Then we get an abrupt transition to...
At least we had the costume.
Our intrepid trio enter some old abandoned warehouse. There, you're like, this is perfect for fight scene.
Yeah, boss
this
fight
is,
arena.
This is a boss fight arena.
Especially when you can't transform in public.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sure enough, you know, the bad guys just go there too, even though they're at this point they're way behind them, but they probably have super senses and whatnot. I don't know.
One of them does.
Elephant guy can sniff them out.
Elephant, yeah. His, I call them proboscis. So they go in and they transform, and we got We got Man-Bat, we got Fuzzy Lady, we got the tumor, and we got proboscis.
And God.
It's a real fucking fur con in there.
Yeah. And it took me a while to realize this. This woman, she's, you know, covered in fur, except for her tits. Just two fake-ass tits hanging out and a beak, yeah.
And a beak, yeah.
She's a harpy, I guess. I don't know.
A Furby.
Sure. A Furby.
She's a Furby.
She does look like a Furby that grew a body.
Like if Real Doll made a Furby.
And then,
I mean, it probably exists.
Also, what if I... while we're at that, you see that sweet set on the proboscis guy? That had some nice tits.
Yeah.
Six of them.
It was just too. Like, I'm serious. Yeah. Go take a look at those nips.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely do that as soon as we finish pump recording. This right back in. Just fucking
so
zoo tube.
Yeah, goofy ass half gremlin half bat is like the second best costume of this quartet.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, he's also got the most screen time outside of the Guyver himself.
So now. We cue the whimsical music as the search begins, as, you know, our trio's hiding while the Zoonoids are looking for him.
What kind of world, like, what kind of situation were we in that J.J. Walker ranked higher than Mark Hamill? It's been a wild time, like, that crossover in, like, the 90s.
I don't know that he did, like, because I believe everything I've seen, I don't know what you're judging this on, but I believe everything I've seen, it's the people are placed in order of appearance.
Oh, I was just saying, because this is basically like his movie.
Oh,
don't worry, Rob.
I imagine it's just because it's easier.
His Zoonoid, not only is he rapping, he's rapping through a toilet seat.
Yeah, I might need to excuse myself.
And we've reached a new low.
Yeah, just throw a blanket on me like I'm a bird or something. And just,
I mean, it's 1991. It was a different time.
A furry bird with giant tits.
I'm not saying it's any better now. It's just different.
So proboscis man, he can smell them through the floor. And
they're up there.
Yeah.
Is that a Jay-Z song?
And then,
I think it's an R. Kelly song.
So
awkward.
Now, a scuffle breaks out. You know, Max over here tries to take on the man bat, who just jumps over him and falls to his doom.
Everybody's like, doing flips and aerial acrobatics, and I'm like, just shoot him.
And then he gets knocked down the stairs. The fuzzy woman kicks his ass, and he's knocked out. Then the goons catch Mitski, or Mitski, and they're they got her. And Sean does, you know, some hilarious antics where he jumps, you know, grabs a rope, jumps off the balcony, pulls a pulley that lifts a heavy crate up. And Stryker's like, I'm going to stand right under that. Don't do anything weird. He's like, drop the rope. No problem. And crushes Stryker with the with a crate of something.
But there's no consequences. It's just like, no. Yeah. I half expected that he'd stand up and he'd have like a flat version of the suit on or something.
I just was waiting for the birds. But question.
Mm-hmm.
When he does this rope thingy, where is his girlfriend at this point?
I don't know. I really don't.
Didn't Bird Lady?
I don't think he knows
her?
Either.
Yeah.
Bird Lady had her, but where?
Under her hairless breasts.
Sweet hair. No, because like I couldn't quite. At this point, I was like, did he just run away from his kidnapped girlfriend? Because like he's swinging away from this top balcony, but then I was like, I don't know where this. I lost all spatial relations. I forgot. I couldn't tell where the girlfriend was. Mm. Probably.
This is like a Chief Wiggum's got his tie stuck in the hot dog roller situation. It's every man for himself.
Speaking of,
can I get worse before it gets better?
Me a zebra dick, please.
Ooh, zebra dicks.
Thank you.
So
zebra dicks are back in a big way.
All right. Now, the CIA tail that we're following, Max. They show up. They're like, all right, good. We're here in time, and they turn into Zoonoids.
The Zoo knows.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Stryker's beating the shit out of Sean, and Lisker here, the tumor, he turns around and just bitch slaps Mitski. And that's it. That's it for Sean. It's Guyver time.
Yeah.
Yep. He yells a phrase, I believe.
What phrase does he yell?
Indeterminate phrase.
Oh. No, yeah, he yelled something about like, get away from her. Or leave her alone. Yeah, I think it was get away from her.
It just sounded like, Put the
Mitzi down. And he doesn't even have the costume on yet.
Put the Mitzi down now.
The effect quality isn't the best, but I like the look and the concept of how all of the armor shoots out of his neck and attached to different cords and wraps around him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, for a quick, like, 3-second transformation, I thought it was pretty cool.
If you're fighting somebody with, like a sword, you just cut those fucking tendrils off, and it's like, what transformation?
I doubt it would be that easy.
It would happen so quick, too. You'd just be like, whoa, what came out of your neck? And then it's done. Like,
you're assuming you can even cut the tendrils.
Yeah. Gotta see the doctor for that.
You just, now it's just there's a sword in there with him. Anyway.
That would suck if it was pointed inwards.
Yeah. They did a really good job of bringing like the anime style and everything to life on this.
You know who didn't do a good job? Immediately after the credit that they built up with that transformation, Stryker busts another rhyme. Mm-hmm. Which he ends with, boy, and then he just gets thrown through some stairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then fucking one of the guys is sort of like a dinosaur looking dude. He like throws that guy and that guy's just fucked immediately. And
well, sort of, because there's no consequences. They all just keep getting back up.
Well, I don't think we see that guy again, though.
Good. He was just like, I'm done with this movie.
You knock the Guyver down. It's got eyes on the back of its head. It could see you from all the angles, which is actually a good explanation for how it can fight multiple people.
Yeah.
Even though this movie's just like, don't worry, they wait in turn.
Yeah.
Because we know that we don't actually have anybody really good at martial arts right now. And
reality, that actor can't.
Yeah, no, I think the bigger problem is like we have some great martial artists in these suits. Unfortunately, they can't see jack shit. So,
also rubber impedes movement.
Yeah.
Also, we only have one copy of each suit.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we have pointless flips. We have those in spades.
Oh yeah, those we got.
Yeah,
and it's not even like in Highlander when the guy does the pointless flips, but they speed it up so it looks like he actually traveled somewhere relatively quickly. This is like you could just walk after him while he's flipping.
Oh, yeah.
Or stab him while he's flipping.
Yeah.
Just kick him out of the air.
The Guyver clotheslines the shit out of Stryker.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was satisfying. But now he's fighting Tumor. And don't get in a headbutt contest with the Tumor.
No.
Especially when your weakness is your forehead orb.
Yeah, how do you... Well, I was going to say, didn't how know. Do you not know? Well,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't know that what the Guyver was.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he had it in his neck.
Well, you say that like that was the most obvious thing ever. But also remember, this is the guy that, again, watched his girlfriend go into a room with a gentleman who was crying. Watch him take her to a crime scene.
Your Honor, I'm simply trying to establish this man's character.
Yeah.
So
he still didn't know that he was a cop or that something happened to his girlfriend.
So he gets agitated now because his orb's been headbutted and like some elbow blades pop out and Stryker and the and Proboscis.
His weenus gets sharpened.
Yeah. Stryker and Proboscis hold his arms. Well, Tumor gives him the super headbutt, which causes him to go flying, and he decides to do a spinning elbow blade attack to Fuzzy Tits, kills her outright, not Fuzzy Tits. Fuzzy everywhere but the tits.
Fuzzy/tits.
Yeah, fuzzy/tits.
Skin tits.
And he thinks he kills Mitski.
Color skin.
Please don't.
Yeah, now he's like, oh no, what have I done? And the other Zoonoids surround him in his moment of weakness and start beating him down. Max crawls over to Mitski and is like, it's okay, she's alive. But it's too late. The Guyver's been beaten so much. His chest is opening and starting to glow, but that shit takes time to charge. And Tumor just reaches down and pulls out his forehead orb.
And Hot Rod comes and fucks it all up.
Guyver's like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to melt. And he just deflates and melts.
Pulled the plug on that.
You know, It's your classic, like, just melt a wax copy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's times where melting a wax copy looks really cool.
Yeah,
and this is one
awesome.
Of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, awesome, I mean, might be strong, but it's good.
Kinda.
It's all right.
I liked it.
It's the same thing that happened to Fish Guy. So you're like, oh, he's dead. So you can roll credits.
But Fish Guy left a corpse behind.
Yeah.
This guy's a puddle. There's no consistency here.
Well, you could argue there still is because they explain why there's no skeleton.
We could,
there.
But we won't.
So we have to talk about fucking the Zoa Lord here. Just getting all kinds of gross with Misky. Like, that's where this transitions to. Like, she wakes up somewhere, and this guy's just, like...
wearing something.
Yeah, he's wearing one of his shirts.
Yeah, his shirts, yeah.
He licks his own lips and, like, rubs those on her lips.
Well,
and
he's tracing his fingers around her.
Yep.
And then, like, tastes whatever he scraped off of her epidermis. And then it's just like, I will exchange. And he puts it, whatever he licked off of his liquor and put it on her kisser. And it's just grosser.
Which is always something you want from someone that's about to say, me and your dad were good friends.
It's okay.
He said it was okay.
It's okay. No. I'm a friend.
Yeah.
Nope.
So
you can't leave.
I've met most of your classmates by now.
I want to learn how to activate the Guyver. Also, want to see the Zoonoid growth corridor? No, too bad.
This could be your new home.
Too bad we built it.
Yeah, hey, I got you here. You ever seen an Evil Lair? Come on, I'll show you around.
I can't not take you here and not show you the fucking
growth. We built the thing. We got to use it.
Hey, he misheard it. He thought that it was, if you build it, she will come.
Yeah. Don't worry. They get their money's worth for this set, though. Because it's basically, you're here for the rest of the movie.
Come on, kiddo. You want to see some weird babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee they get their money from everything. And it was, you got Tumor and bat ears or whatever. And
Man-Bat.
Man-Bat, the better costumes that get most of the screen time. You get your second tier characters. You get whatever the fuck this doctor that shows up later is.
Anklo Tiny Arms.
Yeah. And then we get whatever didn't make it, turn out.
At this point, we're legit just gluing shoes together and painting them black.
But that's what I'm saying. The ones that even then were like the worst of the worst that weren't even good enough for people to be in, they just stuck in tanks.
In the tanks, yeah.
Mm.
I think this is what Alabama thinks embryos are.
Yeah, so there's, it's like one of those games where you have to like draw as many pictures as you can in a certain amount of time. And like, these are the ones that like time ran out and it's just like pencils down. Like it is what it is now. So,
or like if you do that, the drawing game where somebody just does a scribble and you have to try and turn it into a thing.
So, he wants to get one of these Zoonoids into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And
White
you know,
House, Congress.
So it's a lofty dream. And then, Walmart. He's like, you ought to become one.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, guess what? You better tell me how the Guyver works or you know, that's it. You're going to go into Yucky Tank.
You'll be Secretary of Orphans.
He, like, presses her face against the side of the tank, and the one of them, like, looks at her with a creepy eye.
The president
on, man,
of banks.
Fine.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So after I just did all that horrible stuff to you, let's just go meet Dr. East. He's fine.
Hey, can I put things in you? All right, cool. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. It's like, you save that ship for the end of the tour. So now we meet Dr. East as he's stuffing some kind of Zoonoid down the garbage chute. And he's saying that...
It's a squeaky shoe.
And just for anyone that might be listening and care, this is Jeffrey Combs, and this is a reunion from Reanimator.
Uh-huh.
His name is even a reference.
Gotcha.
This is not his first time even on this podcast.
Reanimator is one of those ones I do need to watch.
Stop wiggling your leg.
What?
Not the response I was looking for. Was I wiggling my leg? Okay.
Well, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should spoil it. Never mind. Okay.
I'm about to spoil it.
Don't watch it with Becca.
Oh, yeah. No, of course not.
As far as...
I know... I know that part.
Okay.
So, all right. Now, what you would call it? they're starting the process on Max. They're turning him into a Zoonoid.
You ever have to let out a fart a little at a time? Just to make sure.
We're at the end, Rob. Come on. So,
speaking from experience.
No more.
Hold it a little longer.
Okay.
All right. So Mark Hamill's in a Bacta tank. Yep.
Yep. The Guyver unit, it's you know, it's alive, it's growing.
Yeah.
And he's gonna come out of there and go, no.
Yeah. Can't read my notes here. It said Mitski then knees the Overlord Bad Touch in the groin. That's what I wrote. And just reaches into the Guyver tank and steals it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm going to grow all kinds of slimy tentacles on you.
And whatever the hell.
Zoonoids show up. You're just like, oh, we're not even going to bother with the transformation at this point. They're just, those actors are done.
Yeah.
They're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We saw the one shot where they walked into the door and the monsters walked out. That's all you need to know.
They've gone home. The actors have left.
Yep.
Oh, we should say the guy who clearly was not paid for any fucking lines because he's a silent partner of the FBI whatever. The super bad ADR at the last minute here when they're running into the building. Remember, he's like,
yeah, go in.
Yeah, like go in. Be careful. Mr. Black.
I didn't actually say that.
Yeah, no, he had no lines this time.
Yeah, it was literally he looks at the camera, then as soon as his head turns the other way and you get the back of his head, he's like, no, I'm going to say a lot of things.
Not even a lot, two things.
I know, but it was just for the joke.
So this next part is dumb, but cool. Stryker makes a grab to get the Guyver unit from her before she throws it out. And, silliness ensues. The shit goes flying out of her hand. The unit flies all the way across the room into Dr. East's mouth. And that's all the Guyver needs. He's got plenty of material there to grow.
His mouth.
And you're like, oh, it's going to burst out of him. This is going to be awesome. And we get a flagrant Jaws reference. Even the music.
Yeah.
As the elbow blade cuts, Dr. East open. And it just climbs out of him. Dr. East at this point has transformed into some sort of minotaur-ish
pile of clothes ram thing. With latex sprayed on top of
them. The angle that they shot this at was unfortunate because even I could tell he was climbing through a hatch in the floor.
And this man in a suit, very impaired in mobility, is just like, help, guys.
Yeah.
Someone pull me up. But... yeah, so now the Guyver's here, fully reformed.
Also, quick thing, just earlier when they got onto the movie set, anyone else notice, I'm pretty sure they were like, it's cool because, we got a crew guy in the shot and it's a film set anyway. But when they jump over the wall, there's a guy ready to help them down.
Yes.
just blatantly in the shot,
it was from the movie set,
But why would he just help random people climbing over a wall?
They were expecting them to climb over the wall.
They were expecting a monster.
Well, maybe there was more than they weren't told.
They weren't expecting a monster because they're the ones that had to run around the wall as soon as they're done to put the monster costume back on.
So turns out the Guyver, once it bonds with you, it stores you in its hard drive and can rebuild you later, which is a super useful feature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, no one wants to fight the Guyver. They're like, he just grew out of one of our friends.
Yeah, no, that's great. The stakes in this movie are wonderful. You've just seen him be invincible all the time.
I think, though, that is one of the only times we see one of the bad guys die. There's, a few deaths coming up here.
But Mitski and Max go running off, and they're being chased by Proboscis and the most useless Zoonoid. I don't even know what this is. It's just a... Yeah, it's a pile. Fly.
Yeah.
Pile.
Oh, no, there's a fly, and then there's a pile.
Yeah.
Well, there's a puppy pile.
And it's too fat to go up a spiral staircase and get stuck.
Oh, it did bark. Oh, it's a puppy pile. God damn it.
Puppy pile.
It's 101 Dalmatians.
It's a puppy kin.
It's 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Proboscis now jumps up onto the catwalk that Max and Mitski are on And he's like choking the hell out of Max here. So Mitski takes a power cable and zaps him in the eye. And the Guyver jumps up there and throws him into the conversion tank that they just pulled Max out of. And Proboscis dies in a shower of sparks and electrocution.
Presumably,
or whatever.
We never see the corpse.
Yeah. He's out of the film.
Yeah, yes. You just gotta assume.
Yeah.
By the way,
exit stage down.
If we're trying to be funny and do silly things, like I would love here or at any point, just once someone does that kind of thing, they grab the big cord and they pull it out and they slam it against the guy and realize it's the wrong end and it's not doing anything. Like,
also, it's not just that easy to pull an electrical. Yes, thing out but like that.
Especially for this tiny person. Yeah.
So.
But,
The Guyver's now fighting the tumor, and the fly comes running in like, I'm going to help even though my arms are like a foot long. And he just catches an elbow blade and dies. Now Chubbs has extricated himself from the stairs and is chasing Mitski and Max. And he's again, like, he's got Max on the floor and he's like, I'll get you as soon as my arms can get down to reach you. Mitski grabs a microscope and beans him over the head, and we get the falling tree sound effects as he's knocked unconscious.
That's great.
Meanwhile, while that's happening, the Guyver just, Tumor gets him in a bear hug as the Guyver uses his elbow blade to shiv the shit out of him, turn around, and just rip his tumor open. And you're like, oh, okay, that's a very drastic difference in tone.
Yeah, he just fully murdered him. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Now there, it's my turn.
I have a feeling there was a lot more of that before New Line Cinema made their.
Yeah.
I've said a such before.
But he like followed up with like a goofy one-liner.
Well, he called him Bonehead.
Yeah, he called him Bonehead.
Pushing.
Yeah. As he tore his head asunder.
So
again, to make get wacky.
Yeah.
So now they're like, all right, well, that takes care of all the Zoonoids. We should leave. Max is like, hold on. I have to become a cockroach.
Remember that fourth meal I got you guys? It's not sitting so hot.
So, yeah, we watch Mark Hamill turn into a grasshopper.
So sad.
Which is
wasn't great. The first time, won't be the last.
And admittedly, what are awesome makeup effects, but you're just kind of like, why? Why now?
I do think that the way that they designed it was interesting because it did look like they actually still had Mark Hamill in the floor, in the face of the costume.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was an interesting technique.
Probably the same execution, hole in the floor like, MacGyver just
And honestly, I give them a lot of credit because I was particularly impressed when he, it was clearly still him and he was blinking and stuff as like the neck was stretching out. Mm-hmm. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
Good bad guy move here, though, because the Zoolord creeps in while this transformation's happening, and
this
Mitski
is, where
is
he's
clearly
got his third eye thing blinking.
But he's clearly, Mitski's clearly distracted, so he just grabs her, pulls her away.
Yoink.
And then
for like the millionth time.
After that huge transformation, Max is just like, you got to stop them. You gotta end this. I'm going to die now. And he's out.
Okay, bye.
The last check has cleared. Goodbye.
Adios, Mark Hamill.
I mean, honestly, it's a more dignified death than the one in whatever that Star Wars was.
Not my Star Wars.
Guys.
Not my floor.
Just make me fucking disappear. I don't care.
Space farts. It's cool. I want it to end like this. All right, so.
No, that's Guyver.
Now. Excuse me. We get the final showdown. Because, the bad guy here, the Zoolord, he comes out and he's like, oh, I'm so scared. You know, give me the Guyver. Like, it's magnificent. And the Guyver's like, I'll just kill you. He's like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm going to get my handkerchief out and do a little matador move, which I did legit laugh at.
Yeah, this was like one of the only scenes where the acting was okay.
No.
So. So I like he's doing this little dance and these matador moves, and MacGyver, he's like, okay, I'll just kick you right in the fucking chest through a door. He doesn't have time for that.
Fuck around and find out. So.
Yeah, and kicks him into the darkness.
Go put your queen alien costume on.
Okay.
And we see two big red eyes light up.
Get away from bitch, you her.
and just a fugly ass war turtle thing comes walking out.
It's a dragon.
A what?
Giraffe, it's a dragon.
Giraffe.
It can't even fit through the doors. All right, we're going to go the other way.
It spent all its points on like cool claws and head features, and its body is like it just ran out of material to make the body.
He did not think about leg day at all.
Well, I was saying, like, even with the head, like, it has that thing of like, we couldn't decide on the cool style of horns we want, so we just fucking used all of them. It's just a mess.
So, you can clearly tell while this stupid thing is running around the bad guy lair that it's on wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the limbs are just
it's crawling around this bad guy chamber.
Well, yeah, but like, it's either on wheels or it's like stop motion or something.
So it's slow as shit.
Yeah, this is like one of the things I used to create all the time where I'm just like, keep throwing more cool things on there until we get absurd.
And the Guyver can casually backflip away from it.
Yeah.
And he hides behind a computer, waits for it to come around, and elbow blades it in the eye.
It's the ultimate one.
And then rather than trying to go for the other eye, it decides, you know what, I'm just going to get on top of its neck and mount it, see what happens. And
that's how you get a Mr. Hands.
And he's once he got up there, he's like, there are too many horns and features and grease. I can't stay on up here.
I got to cut off at least one of them.
Yeah.
Oils.
And so the Zoolord's just like, whoa, and like does a little headbutt move and throws him on the floor in front of him, grabs his the Guyver's arms with each of his arms. And he's like, don't worry, my tongue's a hand.
Yeah.
His tongue is just unacceptable.
He is Overlord Naughty Tongue.
Yeah. He's got a three-pronged grabby tongue, and he's going for the orb.
It's like, don't worry, you're next, Miski.
Control metal.
Yep. Oh, going for the control metal, but yeah, the chest of the Guyver opens and it starts to glow, and he's like, I'm gonna shine such a flashlight at you.
That's right.
Such a flashlight that you go flying backwards and fucking explode.
They like literally, you see the pieces of this carcass flying around.
They stuffed this costume full of like deck cord or something and blew it to hell.
Pretty sure the actors were still inside of
it. They're like, well, my career's over, so
like, yeah, we're not paying.
Might as well go out with a bang.
So yay, we win. The Guyver recalls back into Sean's neck. He's naked now. Mitski looks at him for a sec, makes out with him, gets him a lab coat. They walk away, and then you're like, fuck, I forgot Stryker's still here.
Mitski looks him over for a bit and settles.
I don't know if he settles. She kind of more like, all right. After all this, I got to give you a month or two. Fair.
So they go walking off.
Can't break up with you now.
And you see that CIA stooge is standing next to Stryker. You know, still in man bat form. And he's like, I got a job for you. And what happens, Rob?
Fuck. I can't even say it. I'm so mad.
It's the last line of the film.
Dan, oh my.
Fucking, I just, how dare you?
Because it literally waited and it was like, there you go. Now shut it off, jackass. We're already over.
The Guyver.
Now, did you notice?
No.
At the very end of the credits.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I stopped.
Made it to the end of the credits. What?
What are
these? Was there a stinger?
Zoonoids. No zoonoids were hurt in the production.
Oh, I could tell from the combat.
Golly.
Yeah.
There were, from what I read about, there were, I guess, a couple fun, goofy credit things.
Hilarious. That was the Guyver.
Exactly.
I'm going to get the list set up.
All right. I'm assuming that means he wants me to tell you that on RottenTomatoes.com.
Rotten Zoonoids.
Sure. Critics gave this a score of 40%. Audience gave this a score of 39%.
Wow.
That's generous.
It's interesting to see it go that way.
Yeah,
But
I thought audience would be higher.
Well, tell us what else you think, Joe.
I mean, I think that's 40% is about where I would rate it. We talk a lot about movies that you're like, why the hell did we remake this movie? and how there's a lot of movies out there that really, like, I would like to see get a second chance with today's, you know, effects and budgets and whatnot. And this is a clear example of one of those. Like the
is called Blue Beetle.
I didn't watch that, but like,
it's not wrong. Oh yeah. God, actually, the more I think about it, the more right that is.
Well, but here's my reasoning though, because this movie, it's the wrong tone. Every scene is literally the wrong tone.
It's just wrong.
And like, I was ready to watch some biomechanical guy beat the hell out of some guys in Power Ranger quality suits. And you know, ready to enjoy myself, but like, it's just every scene there was something to just pull you out of it, like a Michael Bay's Transformers. Yeah. And this is something that I think could very simply be improved upon. And now, I mean, today it's always a crapshoot when you try to, you know, expand on something, or, you know,
could they do it worse than this?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It can always get worse in the movies.
Madam Web, Tony, worse or better than this?
I said 40% is about where I'd put it. Like, it can definitely be worse. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can't really like recommend it. I mean, if you're a fan of like cool creature effects, you could watch it for that. But like, yeah, there's other movies.
Watch The Thing or Jaws.
Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Sesame Street. Yeah.
And the one thing that would make this movie work for me would be like some cool fights. Cause I always complain, like when we're watching like kaiju films, how it's like, to me, it's like watching NASCAR. Cause you're watching two giant things fight very slowly in a very predictable manner. It's the equivalent of like saying you like racing and then you watch people like turn left for 4 hours. It's boring. Mm-hmm. So I figured, you know, they're human sized, they can move better. I naively thought, and it should be a better fight. It wasn't. So, yeah, I forgot where I was going to go with that point. But bottom line, it's the movie's an F. It's still terrible acting. It was a good idea done with good creature effects.
Done dirt cheap.
And just, you know, I don't like it. Like, it would have been okay if it didn't have the silly tone, or if it had the silly tone and didn't ask us to take it seriously at any point. Like it does. So it's just the wrong tone. Whoever did it needs to be stabbed in the face with a soldering iron.
Wow. Well,
what was it? Ultra Wang?
Ultra Wang.
Mad George.
Screaming Mad George. And oh fuck, I had it until you just decided to say something.
Daniel Wang.
So that's a not recommend.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to jump off of that a little, and yeah, like I still love the a lot of the effects in this. I love the costumes, but it is that problem, they can't really fight. So that's where you want to put some CGI, but obviously they didn't have that back then. And yeah, I don't know about the remake, because hey, it could go so poorly. But yeah, it's a fun movie to me because I'm a little nostalgic, but the goofiness I didn't like. The tone shifts I definitely don't like, and the fight scenes weren't that great. So yeah, I won't recommend this.
The rapping.
The rapping. Yeah.
Fucking Grammy.
John.
Well, I started out with the Guyver with the 1987, I think, anime. It was kind of, I think it was a miniseries. I think that all told, it's like 4 hours long. So I started there and then saw this movie after I was firmly already a fan of the Guyver. So I'm biased there. I'm also biased as someone who likes to build costumes and props and things like that as a hobby. I fucking love this movie. I just love staring at the creatures and the Guyver costume. For years, I drew up plans about how to build my own Guyver costume, and being a poor West Haven bastard, never had the money to do it.
Yeah, me both.
I probably could now, but I don't want to cosplay as Fat Guyver.
You and me both.
What if you go as Guy Fieri?
Yeah. Joe, get the fuck out of this house. Like, Joe, get the fuck out of this house.
It's just like the same suit.
Adios, ladies and gentlemen.
it's basically the same suit, except it has like tribal tattoos all over it. Like the top is open to let the hair out.
The little spiny thing's got to come up, but it's got to be bleach tipped.
It'll wear a loose fitting button down. You know, that could cover the belly more.
Over the Kuiper costume.
It's got like the elbow tongs. special.
God damn it. But
and I see it as a comedy, not like a serious movie. And I have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, just to clarify, on a personal level, I love the movie, but I couldn't recommend it to other people because anyone that didn't grow up with this isn't going to like it. I enjoy it.
So it's a terrible comedy if it's trying to be a
comedy. It is. Yeah. That's my least favorite part.
I mean, like, the so bad it's good.
Yeah. Again, I can enjoy it on that level myself. But, Brick.
So I will first start by saying,
no filibustering, just get to your damn review.
Thank you for making this movie, because I appreciate people trying to bring anime into live action.
Why don't you guys text me when he's done? Mm-hmm.
But I would give this movie an F-. The technology wasn't there for this particular kind of anime, and I did not enjoy anything in this movie at all, and was just waiting for it to end. That's all I've got. Somebody text Rob.
Rob.
Oh, hey. I would normally be the ultimate defender of guys slapping the shit out of each other in rubber costumes. And I do love a good so bad it's good movie. But the problem is the fights are boring and there's so much of them in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend this movie if not for so many fight scenes that are just off. So it's not a recommend for me.
But the rapping, Rob.
Like, you know what? Honestly, in the right the right scenario, the rapping's gold.
He recommends you download the album.
Mm-hmm. If we could make a cut of this movie where the fights are like just properly edited or gone.
Also, if I could add in,
somebody at New Line like went through and took out all the scenes of them literally ripping guys' arms.
Clearly.
But you'd still have to get through just the 20-minute endless scene.
I guess the first time I watched this recently for the, you know, when I watched for the podcast. So slight recommend to watching it at 1.5 speed because it's a much better movie.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I have no doubt at all. But as it stands, no, I don't.
All right. So, yeah, I think we're all going to have to pass on Guyver, unfortunately.
For John. John liked it.
John liked it. Yeah. I'll recommend people watch.
You will?
I will. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got that wrong. I'm sorry.
Aside from Alien, the Alien and Aliens, which when it's actually properly lighted and not like moving by quickly,
it looks terrible.
Not as good to look at as.
Which is like. Why a better director knew not to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But for creature suits of the time, the only other one that's really this good, Predator, which this guy worked on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just anyone who has an appreciation for practical effects, I think, should check it out just to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'd go say check out the suits. You don't need to watch a fucking movie.
Yeah, that's what I would say. You know, look at pictures or a YouTube summary. Don't watch the movie
about Stan Winston.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Yep.
Usually those gobble monsters are in the background a lot. But,
still, that is a failing grade from us. What would we recommend instead?
Oof. Power Rangers.
No.
Anything with Jackie Chan. I'm going to start
right down. Alien? All right.
Yeah, Aliens. Sounds great.
I honestly can't think of what I would recommend instead of this.
I mean, for what, though? Because, like, if it's practical effects, the thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If it's for an action movie, there's a lot of shit to choose from.
Yes, but we have limited time.
The guy in crazy powered armor, Iron Man.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah
we do have a slightly better thing on that now. So,
Just rolling now.
Ooh.
Well, John did actually took notes.
I did it last time.
Sort of. Yeah.
Oh,
I got it.
Rob.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, no, Rob rolled when Tony wasn't here.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So, that makes it me, so then.
It's Joe then.
But you roll Superman?
I don't think I rolled that time recently.
Who?
I'll bring the episodes.
We used to just do this in order. Now yep. I don't know anymore. So.
We did.
Yeah, the order's all janktified.
We did our...
So I was just going in counterclockwise.
I rolled the Mighty Ducks, and then somebody rolled Superman.
Was that Brick?
I think that was Brick. So
all this is going on.
It was either Brick or you. And then...
I don't remember.
Joe, roll the die.
I think he rolled Ghost.
I don't know. I will figure it out. Just Joe, roll the die.
Roll the die.
Boya!
13.
Unlucky 13. Number.
13th
floor.
Well,
we don't know that. Around here, all the numbers are unlucky.
No.
2017's Bright.
Is that the one where it's like Shadowrun, but in modern days where there's orcs and elves?
The,
and
the racism's one with Will Smith. Who put that on the list?
I don't know. Sorry, everybody.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening. Join us next time for Bright.
Everybody send us your drawings of Guy Fieri.
That's right, dude.
And his mega smasher to Flavortown.
Hopefully he shows up in Bright. Get hype. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Adios.
Dynamite. Good night.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe, and if possible, leave a review. If you have questions, comments, or would like to sponsor an episode, email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, you can buy a t-shirt, hoodie, and more at Teespring. Or gain access to exclusive content by becoming a patron at patreon.com/4ampodcast. Thanks again for listening, see you next time.